listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 7th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very happy to be here. And I want to say congratulations to all the graduates from last Saturday.
That's absolutely. It was a great graduation. So good to see everybody and so many regular listeners saw you there too. And so happy for you. And we want to welcome those that are joining us live in the chat. Always look forward to seeing you and catching up with you each week. We also want to thank everybody that takes the time to listen to us in the archives. And we appreciate your feedback as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. And 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, very excited to welcome Dr. Doug Kelly. Welcome to the program.
Hi, son. Welcome, everybody. I mean, that's me. Hello, everybody, and welcome to me.
Hey, I'm so happy to have you. I know we're looking forward to asking a few questions and kind of, getting to the bottom of a couple of questions some people have had, but by all means, I think I cut you off, Dr. Vicki.
No, I was just going to say, Dr. Kelly, the program for last Saturday is in the school archives, correct?
It's on the dashboard, the link to the graduation party. The link for the graduation ceremony is on the dashboard at IMHS and TFU. Just look for it. It's there.
So anybody who, if you want to listen to it again, even though you were there, or if you missed it altogether, please go have a listen over in the archives. Mm-hmm. So we do have a question, I think, from Dr. Kevin wrote to you, didn't you, Dr. Kelly, asking what was the biggest challenge you had when starting the school?
Yes, you have a good memory. There was kind of a two-part. Biggest challenge I faced in establishing IMHS, which was the first school, and what my plans are for the future of the school. And so, since right now, that's the only question I have, I'm going to start with it and talk about it. And if anybody has any questions they'd like to ask, you just put them in the chat room. And Dr. Vicki or Michael will notice it and tell me. Okay, so I appreciate the question, Dr. Kevin. I was thinking back on what the challenges were. I, and you know, I guess I have to say that I didn't feel like anything I did was impossible, I guess. You know, I talk about this in my courses, you know. I never say that's too hard. I always ask, how hard can it be? Other people have done it, you know, done things, and I just do it. And so what it took was a lot of research, for sure, and a lot of time spent in that research. And, of course, the courses that I wrote took a lot of time and research. But the interesting thing was that I had been preparing for this most of my life. I mean, at the time I started IMHS, ICMH Church and IMHS when I was 51 years old. That was in 2010. I'm 66 now, so it's been 15 years. And I don't know where that time went. But anyway, so I actually, the way I did it was in April of 2010 when I decided, yeah, I need to do this. And prior to that, I had been doing seminars around the U.S. for national seminars and Fred Pryor, and every week traveling different cities, you know, doing day-long, sometimes two-day seminars. And I had an opportunity to develop my concepts. Like one of the concepts I developed back then was what became the life leadership paragon: self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect, free will, and self-completeness. It actually began its existence in my book on alcoholic relationships, which at the time, and still do in the book, call it the empowered, you know, empowered recovery is what it is, but it's the same thing. And so I had a chance to develop that concept and the profiles, the assertiveness profile and the behavioral profile. And I used those in my seminars for 5 years, and you know, I make copies and have everybody take them. And then I was able to tweak them and hone them and so forth. So I did that. So when I started the church in April of 2010, I laid down the path, you know, the plans. You know, the idea was to start the church so that I could offer degrees. You know, you need a legal thing. So I started the church as a nonprofit corporation and started establishing the church, you know, the nine principles of belief and things like that. And then I started laying down the courses. What do I want to teach? You know, and of course, from the get-go, I always wanted to teach pretty much the things I'd been teaching in my business seminars: communication skills, critical thinking skills, relationship skills, all those things, because I want to help people get past the things that hold them back. I want to help people live better lives. It's always been that way. So I started laying down the courses, and in the beginning, all I offered was doctoral degrees. I thought, you know, that's just all I offered. But it became apparent that people needed mile markers along the way. They needed, well, mile markers, you know, to mark their progression, to mark their achievement, so to speak. So then I added in the bachelor's and master's shortly. I mean, it was very, very short, shortly after that. So I did that in April 2010 and established the church, and I started writing courses. And I spent the next essentially year and a half writing courses, all the courses. And then at that time, I was the only one here. You know, of course, Tracy, my wife, she's been a big part of this behind the scenes. I mean, everything was, you know, discussed with her, and we batted ideas back and forth. But I sat down and wrote all the courses. And so that took about a year and a half. Once I got enough courses written to where I knew that nobody would get done before I got the courses done, would finish the program, then I opened up the school to enrollments. And that was in September of 2010. And so probably, you know, the thing that took the most time and effort was writing the courses. And of course, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into that. I mean, the formatting of them, the formatting of the school software, the the websites. I mean, I do all of that, do all the websites, do all the everything. I do everything. Everything. The writing, the software updates, website updates, which is a pain, but I do all that. So, gosh, when was it? Was it 2011 that Dr. Vicky comes along out of the blue? It was about a year. It was like in April of 2011, wasn't it?
You know, can I just tell this quick story, please?
Cause sure, go ahead.
I'm having a flashback. I had a dream, and I kid you not, everybody, I had this dream, and I woke up in the morning, and the dream had said, look up metaphysical schools, but more importantly, for me to get my ordination. And I've been doing readings my entire adult life, but it just said, get your ordination. And so I start going through the web, and the only one I contacted was, and of course it had a different name at the time, ICMHS, and I tend to go by the old name because that's always in my head. Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science is what it was back then.
Right. Yeah.
And that's how Dr. Kelly and I met. But it was the voice in my head and the internet connection, and I had no idea. But I had gone away to visit my daughter in Sedona, and I thought, I think I'm going to take those courses. But I had to wait till I got back. So,
right.
And it was that April that all of this transpired. And then it was like, I belong here. So yeah. You take it from there.
You'd emailed me before you went to Sedona. You told me you're going to your daughter's in Sedona, and when you get back, you're going to enroll. And
yep.
I said, okay, great. You know, at that point, cool. You know, I had no reason to doubt it. So anyway, you did that, and you came back, and you enrolled. And Vicky was kind of like the oldest child. You know, she wasn't my first enrolled student, but she probably went through the program faster than anybody
yeah.
I had dealt with. And so she had to kind of plow the way, you know, lead the way and, break me in. You know, she had to train the parent, you know, how oldest children do, right? The, parents go into it and the oldest has to plow the way. So anyway, she did that. And of course she did a good job, you know, and it was very clear to me. And see, that's the cool thing, because she went through it and she would do more than one course at a time and then submit and bang, 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 rather than do the course and then do the exam and then go to the next one. So that threw me. And what that did for me was to help me wake up a bit and realize that, look, if there's not a good reason why not, then go for it, right? That's why, and to this day, when students ask me for something, if there's not a good reason why not, I'll do it. And usually there's not a good reason why not, so I usually am pretty flexible anyway. But, you know, then then it was Gregory. My friend Gregory is psychic. You know, and he, I don't know if you were on Skype with us at that time, back, you know, when Skype existed. But he asked, why isn't Vicky, you know, part of your school or something like that? And we'd talked about it, but then I tried to get you to do courses and had to talk you into that.
You know, and this is a good segue to Wendy's question, because she's saying, as someone, meaning you, who teaches metaphysics, where do you personally stand on the existence of paranormal phenomena like ghosts, aliens, or unexplained entities? Well, you see, Dr. Kelly's a pragmatist, and
yeah.
A little on the cynical side when it comes to people who claim they have certain abilities or insights. And he was very suspect of me. That's not new to me, you know, and what I do.
I don't know if I was suspect. I was not suspicious. No. I just had a policy that if you're a psychic, cool, but you're going to have to show me.
Yeah, I know. Like, prove it or go away. So we had couple of experiences, and the story I love the best is you asked me to watch a video you had done. Oh, it was like a seance when you were doing paranormal table research. Tipping. Yeah, go ahead and tell that story.
Well, I don't know which one you have in mind, but it was table tipping. It would have been the video.
And the guy that freaked out. And you asked me what I thought that was.
You better tell it.
Okay. So Dr. Kelly shows me a video. We're on Skype. And he said, and this guy had a panic attack, broke the circle, and stepped back. And he stopped the video, and he said, what do you think that is? Why did he do that? And that's when I explained that there's a different frequency to spirits versus aliens. And what I think he tuned into and what I'm getting here is that there was some kind of an alien presence. And that's when I think it clinched it for you, because you said that's exactly what the guy had said.
Mm-hmm.
That he had,
I don't remember that.
That he had sensed that, and that kind of surprised you about all these different frequencies of energy, and that I could sense. You don't remember that video? You've got it somewhere.
I do, but that's not the one that cinched it for me with you.
Okay.
I'll tell you what blew my mind. Gregory, my friend, Gregory was over to my house. This was back in 2009 or 10, somewhere back then. He was over at the house. We were talking. I asked him, did he see anybody near me? He said, yeah, there's a monk here. And
yes.
I said, are you kidding me? A monk is my spirit guide, you know? And he said, you know, he's got the robe. And I said, are you kidding me? I'm agnostic atheist. And my guide's a monk? Really? It was funny. And I said, well, do you have a name? And he said, no, but what do you think his name is? And at that instant, the name Stanley hit my head. I don't know anybody named Stanley. It just popped in my head out of the blue. Okay, I have a monk for a guide whose name is Stanley. Okay. You know, and I wasn't sure, but I trusted Gregory. So fast forward, now I'm talking with Vicky, and one of my first questions with you on Skype, because we had video going.
Oh, that's right.
And I said, do you see anybody around me? And you were not privy to any of this. Nobody was. And she says, well, there's a monk standing behind you. That blew my mind. That was funny. And so, anyway, so then we were talking. I'm saying, well, you got a name? Because I wasn't telling you anything, right? I'm not telling you. I'm not giving you any information. And you didn't have a name yet. And then, what was it? How'd it go? You said that on a subsequent call that day or the next day, something like, you said that the name you came up with was Thomas and Francis, if I'm remembering correctly.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got the and so then I said, okay, where'd those come from? You know, I have no clue. So anyway, we hung up, and then I looked up, well, what does Thomas mean? And it means twin. I think, holy crap, because you were telling me this person is you, but not you. That's what you were telling me on the video, Skype call. And okay, and so we looked, after we hung up, I looked it up. Thomas means twin. That kind of freaked me out. And then Francis means free, wasn't it? Free.
Yeah.
I think it was free, freedom, something like that. So those two names together made sense. And then subsequent to that, we had a student enroll, and I forget exactly how this transpired, but anyway, his name was Thomas Stanley. I'm not giving you his real name, okay? But Stanley was part of it, and Thomas was part of it. And there's another part of the name, which I won't reveal. But anyway, so all of a sudden, it came together. Thomas Francis Stanley was the name of this monk guide. And he came, and so that's where Thomas Francis University comes from, the name. But there's some other verifications to this as well. Around that time I was on, or prior to that, I was, before I knew it was Thomas Francis, all I knew was Stanley was his name. And so I'm on an investigation with another, my team, and a psychic on the team is Lori. She's real good. She did a great job. And so we're in this house and we're all standing around in a circle, and it was three twins, and one of them was autistic, and they kept seeing these spirits or ghosts or whatever. So we're trying to do this circle to where we're going to get our loved ones, our deceased loved ones, to come in and help us to rid the home of this. And it was, again, I have a lot of thoughts on this. Basically, it's expectation management for the parents. But anyway, so Lori's going around, and her mom and dad were there as part of the team, and other people were there. And so she's going around, each member, dad, grandma's here for you, mom, so-and-so's here for you. And she goes around to everybody and says who their loved ones are there for them. And I said, Lori, is anybody here for me? She says, yeah, there is, but I'm not quite getting the name yet. And so she continues around the circle. And so when she's done, I said, you getting anything? She says, yeah, it's like somebody here starts with an S. It's like Stanley or, you know, something like that. And I about fell over, because Lori had no clue about Stanley, Thomas Francis Stanley. So there was more verification that this was, you know, something real. Anyway, it's very interesting. So then Vicky writes her courses, and she's been here ever since. She started doing the radio program eons ago. And
didn't he come to you in a dream also in the middle of the night one night?
Yeah, that was right after we talked.
And that's right.
Remember, we were talking about that word. I forget the word that I had coined, or thought I did. I'll look it up here and tell you the word and just a name. But it was the Incridian, I've almost got it here. It's the metaphology was the word. Remember that?
Right.
Looking for a word, and all of a sudden this word metaphology pops into my head. And I was talking with Vicky at the time. And so we look it up. There's nothing online about it or anything. And so we had finished the conversation. I was working on courses till 4 in the morning. And so Tracy was in bed. I go and hop in bed and, you know, quietly, not to disturb her. And so I'm just there thinking about all the events of the day. And this is when Vicky had said, saw the monk and Thomas Francis and, you know, twin and free and whatnot. And then I thought about this word metaphology, and I'm thinking to myself silently, and I'm thinking, metaphology, where'd that come from? So I said, Stanley, did you put that in my head? And I swear to God, at that very instant, Tracy kind of moves a little bit and just says, yeah. And she never talks in her sleep. And Stanley, did you put that in my head? Yeah. That's what Tracy said. And I kind of chuckled at first. I'm thinking, oh, Tracy talking in her sleep. She never talked in her sleep. And all of a sudden it hit me. It was a direct answer to the question I had thought in my head. That kind of blew me away.
Well, and there was other, at that time, there was a lot of other amazing things going on. You thought Michael was home, and somebody was in your kitchen. You were in the office, I recall.
Yeah.
but nobody was there.
Well, Tracy was home. She'd gotten home from work. It was a Friday evening around 6, and Michael was working and gone. And so I'm in my office at a different house at the time, and I'm looking. I'm going into the kitchen, and I can see part of the kitchen, but not all of it. And as I turned to go out my office door and head toward the kitchen, I saw what looked like Michael walking into the kitchen and out of my view. So it was just a glimpse, but it wasn't, it was more than a glimpse, but it was a good glimpse. It was a good glimpse, not just a, what was that? I saw what I thought was Michael. So I walk out in the kitchen, Tracy's in the kitchen, and says, and I look and then expecting to see Michael, and there's nobody there except Tracy. And he says, where's Michael? She says, he's at work. And he says, no, he was just here. He just walked into the kitchen. That was cool. But it wasn't him.
Well, you know, I haven't told you yet, but I actually had to come home real quick and then step right back out. And I heard you tell that story. I never wanted to ruin it for you.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, of course, by the way. That was a joke for anybody that doesn't appreciate my dry humor. But, you know, I haven't really ever thought about it being Thomas Francis before, but would you think that would be anything applicable considering the timing and what else you've said about the story?
It could have easily been him. And so, you know, I don't know, but that's what I would think. And I don't know what the significance of that was because I don't remember. Well,
maybe a twin brother from a past life that's hanging on with you.
Yeah, could be. You know, could be. And then there were other instances, too.
Well, I think at that time, just for those who don't know, because there's so many new people since we shared this story online, but you wanted to build a sister school where people could take individual courses and not necessarily go through a program. And so you were trying to develop that. And then when Thomas Francis University, it just, everything clicked after that. It's like there was nothing, there was no hesitation. It just kind of grew on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas before that, that had been a bit of a challenge. It's like everything had to be in place. You know, Wendy says she remembers,
go ahead.
No, Wendy says she remembers you telling that story before. She said it gave me chills then, and it still did this time too.
Thomas Francis is the monk. Thomas Francis Stanley. So there was something else I needed to. I guess that was it. I mean, I need to
question
as well as finish Kevin's
about the future
question. Yeah. So let me finish Wendy's question because we're still on that question. Someone who teaches metaphysics, where do you personally stand on the existence of paranormal phenomena like ghosts, aliens, and other unexplained entities? Do you see them as real experiences, symbolic, or something else? I like to think that my mind is open. I just don't have it so open that my brains fall out. I believe that there are absolutely some unexplained phenomena going on in various areas of the fields, you know, whether it's ghosts, spirits, UFOs, aliens, cryptids, whatever. There's some things going on. There definitely are. I also believe that 95% of it can be explained either with natural phenomena or misidentification or whatever, but not 100%. I think that most of it can be explained. And I have, that's why I came up with the KM scales for photos, evidence, and audio evidence and that sort of, because it's based on how meaningful it is. Because, you know, if somebody takes a legitimate picture of a ghost, which I don't know if there is one, but if there is, let's just say they take a legitimate, it's a bona fide ghost. And I look at that and I say, that's cool. You got a cool ghost picture there. What does it tell me? It tells me nothing. I know ghosts exist. I've been around the block too many times. I've been too many seances, too many things like that. And I know that they're there. What I don't know is why all the time, you know, what do they need? What's going on? And that sort of thing. So in my opinion, spirits are a self-evident fact. The same is true with UFOs, UAPs, aliens. The universe is teeming with life. You know, it's a self-evident fact. There have been too many credible sightings of UFOs in years past by credible authorities. And so in my opinion, it's like, why even argue the thing? It's a self-evident fact. It's just, come on, really? And the scientists who say, oh, we don't have any evidence, that's because you're not looking, you're not listening, you're not exploring, you're not investigating, you know, and because there are some things you just can't rule out. You know, most of it you can, but not all of it. All right, so
before we lose this question, can I just Damien wants to know, what is the most unexpected question you've ever been asked about metaphysics?
Thank you. I had that one on my list too.
I saw that question from Dr. Damien.
Maybe unexpected isn't the right word.
Well,
you get a lot of requests from ghost hunters. I know that.
Well, I get a lot of requests, and honestly, most of the inquiries I get about somebody who's being, you know, visited by a spirit or ghost, they're afraid, because I'm not afraid of any of it. I've asked Beelzebub, Satan, and demons, along with anybody else, to come and talk to me dozens of times, and nobody ever shows up because they don't exist. Come on. But, you know, and plus I'm not probably psychic enough to pick up on anybody being around me. But, you know, the people that inquire, I talk to them on the phone and I try to help them. And I tell them, you know, look, they can't harm you. Spirits cannot harm you. The most they can do at best is startle you, but being startled is not the same as being scared and afraid.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah.
If I may, I think that there are negative energies, negative spirits, but a negative has to have a negative to attach to. So if you're the least bit afraid, that's what a negative spirit might try to, you know, feed off of, and that just causes your paranoia, and that's when our imagination gets carried away. I don't encounter evil, bad spirits either. I encounter negative energy, and you don't bother me. Show your face. Let's have some tea. And they don't bother me. So, which would lead us into a good segue of Dr. Stephen Foster's asking, if I can also, and then you can throw yours in, Dr. Kelly, could ICMH set up a location for students and graduates to make requests for help with healings, possessions, protections, etc.? We don't do that. Yeah. The school doesn't do that. We give, like, if I can say this on your behalf, Dr. Kelly, so we don't have a big discussion about this, but it's, that's something that you do, you go do that. But not in the name of ICMH, IMHS, or TFU. These are just schools, and, you know, ICMH is a church with basic principles that we follow. Yep. Your turn, Dr. Kelly.
I don't do possessions. I don't believe in them. If it was possible for a spirit to possess a human being, or a demon to possess a human being, the whole world would be possessed. As it turns out, most of the world is possessed, just not by spirits, by other people. You know, you tell me
ideas.
The woman who won't press charges against her abusive boyfriend, tell me, who possesses her? She's possessed by her boyfriend or husband or whoever. So I don't do possessions. But if somebody thinks they want to do that, that's entirely up to them. So you answered it well. As far as healings, we have a lot of students who do healing, but protection. Here's all you need for protection. If you are self-possessed, you cannot become possessed by anyone or anything else. Period. That's why I teach self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and self-completeness. When you're standing on your own two feet, when you're complete within yourself, and you don't need anybody else outside of you, then you're self-possessed, and you won't be harmed by anything, whether it's human or spirit or anything else.
So, another question, have you considered establishing a postdoctoral program to accommodate graduates who've continued their metaphysical education?
Well, in a sense, yeah, because we have students who go on to get additional degrees, take the courses required and get additional degrees. But and that kind of will dovetail into the second part of Kevin's question about where is the future? What do I see in the future? And I look for topics, and I have several courses that are in the works, more advanced metaphysical topics that I'm trying to work, get finished. But it's hard to know what to do with it next other than add courses that go deeper into metaphysics. So that's where I do see a little bit of the future. And, of course, Michael is on board and, you know, and he will be assuming things when the day comes that I can't do it.
Which so,
hopefully it will be a long time off.
Jerry is asking what the hominid degree was that someone received on Saturday.
It's hominology. It's the same curriculum as cryptozoology. It's just their preference. Okay. The preference is either hominology or cryptozoology. Hominology, obviously, hominid, you know, is more akin to Bigfoot and things that walk on two legs. But it's the same curriculum.
So Dr. Mike has a great little testimonial in the chat. I was having dinner with John Dover, who is a retired Navajo ranger, and I made the comment that I've never seen any spooks, sectors, ghosts, goblins, aliens, or UFOs, but I still keep looking. And he replied by saying, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Do we need sound?
Well said.
Yeah, well, the school has come a long way, Dr. Kelly. I mean, I know I was way more involved in the beginning. I went on to do other things. Tracy, of course, stepped in, and, you know, you work closely with her, with the students. And, you know, I've remained on with my courses and so on. And the one thing that was always very consistent for me was to stay with the school and certainly be affiliated with the church. And you know, every week I'm glad to be here. But you taught me a lot. You know, you taught me a lot about, I had never written courses before. Being a journalist and dyslexic, I work better in small pieces, you know, basic body structure, tell the facts, and so on. It was real hard for my brain, and Dr. Kelly was challenged a few times editing my stuff. But I learned so much.
Yeah, we worked through it. No worries.
Yeah, we did. And and it's like how you challenge people, and I appreciate that about you in what you offer students is that, you can. So I thank you for that.
Did we miss any questions at all? And thank you, Dr. Vicky.
I don't think so. I think David has also any funniest questions, but I did want to say real quick here, obviously we're not going to be pulling any cards tonight. We will next week. We're going to be wrapping up in a little bit less than 10 minutes here this evening for this discussion. So a couple things I wanted to throw in. I really enjoyed this conversation about the school. One question I wanted to throw in real quick, if David would be so kind as to oblige me. You know, we've talked a lot about the school, but one of the things that I, you know, big chunk of my heart is in metaphysical humanism as a philosophy, as a replacement for divine command theory, you know, dogmatic religion. And, you know, a lot of philosophy in life, a lot of our looking to what is existence is this idea of, is there a God, isn't there a God? And I want to touch on Principle of Belief 5 real quick. And it states, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. And, you know, obviously if you go to the website and you click on that principle of belief, you know, there's a wonderful story about life and nature. But I was wondering if you had any other expansive thoughts on pantheism and the divine energy, as it's said, in all living things, considering how in human societies God is such an integral part of philosophy and things like that. I think this idea of the divinity being in life is a profound one.
Well, I think that religion had its place in human evolution and societal evolution. You know, for thousands of years, humanity has been worshiping one thing or another, the sun, the moon, whatever, ancestors, you know, then God and gods and on and on. And my probably the most important thought I have on this whole worship thing is that I fervently believe that no sentient creature or entity would ever allow another sentient creature entity to worship them. No one who is self-possessed would allow another sentient entity to worship them. No one. And so because of that, I think that's an enlightened philosophy. I think that any enlightened being would never allow another being to worship them. You know, just that resonates with my soul and my very being. So that being said, that for me, and people are welcome to believe what they want. That's what I teach in my courses. You know, you want to believe it, fine. Just do no harm, do right. But for me, that rules out any kind of the biblical creator type being, the person in the sky. Now, was there a creator of all of this stuff? I honestly don't know. I don't know where we came from. I don't know where the universe came from. I don't know how long the universe has been here. I don't know any of that. Nobody does. But I do know one thing, that at some point we'll find answers, probably in the next chapter of life, after this chapter of life. But I do know that there is no God looking down and expecting us to in a dictator capacity, to do what he says or die. You know, that's just wrong. There's just nothing right about that in any way. So that's why I feel that ICMH Church has the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet, because it's all about don't do no harm, do right. You know, we can accomplish anything. The answers are within us. You know, we're responsible for solving human social problems, and we're capable of that. We're all equal, right? One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. You know, it's a tolerant and accepting spiritual philosophy. Just be kind, do the right thing, be a human being and treat other people well. You know, we're all made of star dust. That's all. It doesn't matter whether your skin's black, white, green, red, purple, blue. I don't care. Name your color. It doesn't matter. We're all the same. We're all human beings, and we have no right to be judgmental or racist toward anyone else, you know. And we all inherited this earth. I mean, we're born on it. So, you know, it's our planet. We need to take care of it. We need to take care of each other.
Well said. Very well said.
Well said.
Although I would throw out, if your skin is blue or green, you're probably not human. You're probably running from the government, but we'll hide you. We'll help you out. No worries there.
I'm of the mind that God was an alien species that landed. So I've been saying that for many decades, and now it's actually a theory. Who knew?
Yeah.
No, but very well said. And, you know, it is, when you said about, you know, the universe starting, I'll just throw this out there that, you know, to me, the most interesting concept of this kind of, you know, pantheism is also the fact that, you know, energy cannot die, right? That would suggest that existence has always existed and will always exist. Yeah. And time is kind of an almost illusionary concept. But, you know, we are running out of time this evening. We're coming to that time. So just before we start wrapping up here, I just wanted to offer, you know, we've had a great discussion tonight, but Dr. Doug Kelly, did you have any last thoughts before we sign off?
No, the only one I want to say is I want to thank everybody who's associated with the schools, the church, this radio program, Vicky, you, son, everybody. Thank you for coming along with me. Thank you for being part of this. Thank you for helping other people within your sphere of influence. That's what I want. I want to see you do well, and I want to see you help other people do well. That's what I want. So thank you very much for being part of this with me.
I love it. I love being here, too. And Dr. Vicky, as we're signing off, any last thoughts for the evening?
Well, Dr. Mike just said it. Well, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you are perfect in every way. You know, Dr. Kelly, I'm so glad you joined us tonight, and I love this conversation. It brings back some great memories, but it's also informative for other folks in the chat and the archives that, you know, everybody's got a story, and yours is quite the story. Great.
Now, maybe we can pick it up next month if people want to.
I'd love that.
Well, I reckon they will. And I think we got you committed. So, you know, oral contract, verbal contract. Yeah, it's set in stone now. But
yeah,
okay. No, but this has been a great discussion. What's that?
I'll be committed by then, so I won't have to come
for sure.
No, that's a great deal. So we're looking forward to that. Obviously, we'll be back next week. We're going to be looking to get Dr. Mike back on. You know, we're going to be having some guests. Some good topics down the road, so very much encouraging to join us again. And can't wait to see everybody again next week, man. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.